Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the After Party Podcast, the weekly podcast from Harbor of Hope Church. I'm your host, Jeff Dalrymple, and I'm here today with with Michael Lynch, who is in a house with some family and children and beautiful noises.
Yes, I am.
Jesse. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, and that was Jesse, my latest grandson.
Great.
Trying to get a truck out that he wanted to play with. So we are going to go play with trucks very soon.
Great. Well, so, we won't keep
meanwhile,
you
we'll too talk. Long.
We'll talk. Well, and unfortunately, today's kind of, it's a heavier day.
Yeah.
We are, obviously, we're still in COVID, in lockdown and all that. And this week there has been, the past couple weeks, tensions have been rising racially across the country with murders of people of color and ensuing riots and responses and protests and all that because of that. So tensions are high and we're very somber today. So Mike, you spoke on that a little bit today in your sermon. I don't know. I think you helped facilitate Harbor having a conversation around it, which is kind of, strangely enough, it shouldn't be hard, but it's kind of a weird place for a church to jump into a conversation, which we can talk about as well. But I would like to acknowledge that we are two white men in New England talking about these deeply racial issues. So there's definitely a gap of full perspective, but
for sure.
So Mike, can you give us a summary of what you talked about today and some of your thoughts surrounding the current events?
Sure. Well, let me preface it by just saying, you know, I had we're in a series that involves going through 1 Peter, and it's very appropriate during COVID, and I think it's very appropriate during this this awful week that we've all had as well. And I was actually woken up at like 2:30 in the morning because even though we'd recorded the sermon on Friday, I'd had some interactions with the news. I've had some interactions with friends about the whole thing and the tragedy of George Floyd, and then prior to that of Ahmaud and of Breonna, and I was awakened at 2:30 in the morning. And within seconds, I knew what I had to do was get up and change the sermon because you know, even though it had been recorded and everything else, it couldn't go through like it was. It had to face this head on and talk about it because this is real life. You know, it's one thing to be followers of Jesus and to have our faith in Christ and our hope fixed on, you know, the inheritance that we have in heaven and what's going to be brought when Jesus comes. And as Sheila said in her eloquent blog, which she read for us in the sermon, she looks forward to that time too, but it's not yet. It's not now. And right now we live in this world. We're not of the world, but we live in this world. We have to have a response to this. We have to have a Christian, a Christ-like response to this. And like I said, I think at the end of the day, I don't have all the answers to this, obviously, but I think we need to figure out what does it mean to love people and to bring hope and point them to Jesus in the midst of this stuff that's going on, in the midst of this this awfulness, and to acknowledge that great injustices have been committed.
Yes.
And not just in the past month, but over, you know, decades, hundreds of years, as Sheila mentioned. I think it's definitely something that has to be taken into consideration. You can't sweep these things under the rug. But what is the Christian, what is our responsibility as followers of Jesus in the midst of this? How do we love in the midst of this?
Great. Thank you. I guess just jumping right in, the Christian church can, not just the church, but like this whole issue has become politicized, and it feels like there are two sides of supporting people of color or, you know, defending cops. And I think that's a false dichotomy, first of all, but
course it is. Of course it is. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, I mean, is there racism? Absolutely. Is there evil? Absolutely. It dwells in the hearts of people. And when it comes out and it's shown for what it is, it's just so ugly. It repels us. And it makes people angry. And I get it. I'm not condoning the, violence in the reaction, but I get it. Like in my classroom, there's sometimes one of my students is really disruptive. And I may not, I understand a lot of the times why they are in frustration or something's happened in their lives or whatever. It doesn't mean the behavior is correct, but I understand. And I think, that's one of the things that we're going to need to get to is I know I do is a deeper understanding of how my friends of color feel, and what they have had to deal with that I have not had to deal with. And how to love them in such a way that, points them to God. Because I think, like you said or implied, I don't know that the Christian church as a whole, especially in its, incarnation over the past couple hundred years, has done a great job at that. In fact, they, in some cases, have definitely done a very poor job at
Certainly.
representing Christ. So I think we need it's. This is our time, and all you can do is to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God in your time. And that's what we've got.
Great. So that is the Christian response. How do we do that, Mike?
Right. I know.
I
Well,
don't know if you have answers. I'm
do I have all the answers now? Yes, I have all the
Yeah,
answers. Here's
great.
the first thing. I wish. Sheila mentioned a few things in her blog that I mentioned before. I think that I want to do a little bit more of. First of all, I do have several friends and colleagues and the students I teach who are people of color. To be in touch with them and to ask them, how you're feeling, what's going on, how are you processing all this, and let them talk and just. Because without judgment, because I'm in no position to judge, just to listen and to empathize and to try to bring the love and the healing of Christ into the middle of that, because that's who we are and that's what we're called to do. So I think part of it is that is having intentional conversations with people. I'm fortunate enough to at least, well, before COVID, I was seeing them every day, like classrooms full. But right now it's harder because the Zoom meetings are not, let's say, they're not as well attended as my classrooms were. Not much I can do about that. But, I do have some other people that we can be in touch with. So I think that's one thing, be in touch and let them know that they're loved and that they are worthy. And that we're, in a sense, we can't like feel their pain, so to speak. But, it's a lot like you can come up to somebody and say, I understand how you feel. No, you really don't. Because I've never been in those shoes. But,
That's a great grief counseling technique as well.
All right.
Don't assume you know how someone feels.
No, never. No, because I don't know what it's like to be a woman who's giving birth. I have no idea what that's like. I mean, I've watched it happen, but haven't done that. Never want to. And I don't know what it's like to be a person of color and in our society and all the little things that have happened to them in just daily life that we just don't even. We don't know, we don't hear about because they don't talk about it much. But I want to hear about those more. And to, and when there are instances, I think the next step is doing justice. When there are instances like, what's going on is to definitely stand for for justice here and to say, wait a second, this is evil. This is not right. And something, justice needs to be done here. And those people who do these things need to be held accountable. I'm not going to be brutally honest. I'm not going to be somebody who paints all white people with the brush of racism and say we're all racists and things like that. All white people do not hate all black people, that's for sure. But we don't understand one another well, and I think that's where a lot of it is going to come down to is mutual understanding. One of my favorite people in the world, Paul Neal. If he ever listens, he sometimes listens to my sermons. So every now and then, he's my old principal at Lawrence High School. He's now out in Springfield, and just a great friend and an amazing educator. We had many discussions about God and if he's around and all those things. I think Paul's still waiting to be convinced, but I want to get a hold of Paul because this has been a tough week, especially for people like him. And who's I mean, he's a I don't think I ever mentioned he's a tall black Jamaican dude. I mean, he is big and he is black. And I love him to death, but I want to find out how this is affecting him. So
Yeah,
that's just
absolutely.
an aspect of it, you know. You know, and then, you know, God, I think, will lead people in different directions too, in very specific directions. There may be some more tangible ways to make some connections, to build some bridges, to do justice, to love mercy. You know, I think as we search the scriptures together, which we're doing during this series, I think we're going to understand more ways to be light in the world and to be true children of God in the midst of this time that we're in. So it's to, you know, and oh, who was it? Can't place it exactly, but among whom you shine like stars in the sky or stars in the universe. You remember that verse reference? I can't remember it off the top of
Like
my.
the Abrahamic covenant of
Among whom you shine. No. But it's in the New Testament.
Okay, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's just talking about the fact that the people of God ought to be the ones who are bringing hope. And you know, like when the hospitals were founded based on mercy and things like that, and nursing and things like that. So, I mean, the challenges of our generation right now, the challenge of our time, not my generation, I'm almost dead, but you know, challenge of our time, your generation, dude,
Certainly.
is going to be, I think, to find some semblance of racial reconciliation and the body of Christ to be truly united as much as possible here on earth. Because, like Sheila said, in heaven, I mean, there's every tribe and tongue and people and nation there. We're all on an equal level surrounding the throne. And that's going to be an amazing thing. Wouldn't it be lovely to see some of that happening down here? I know. Yeah, I
Which
really.
is, and that gets into it can get dangerous quick where you say, oh, we're all children of God, there is no race under God, and it diminishes our the beauty of our differences on earth, which we got to
No,
be
I
careful
agree with
about
that too.
too.
I mean, you know, the French say "Vive la différence." They mean something else by it, of course, but I get it. You know, every culture. I mean, I'm the man I am today. I'm the human being I am today because of people like Paul Neal in my life. You know, he's had a tremendous impact on me and others. I want to be more. I want to learn more. Culture, you know, experience, just the ways of thinking.
I think something else that's interesting is and this is nothing we've talked about yet, but how Christians identify with the Israelites, who were an outcast and prejudiced race, who were hurt in many cultures and ostracized in many cultures, and
You still are to some degree.
certainly. And so we identify with these people, and then I think a lot of people have a harder time, a lot of white people have a harder time getting on board with empathizing with other people presently who are being ostracized and oppressed and hurt.
Right. Agreed. I think it's just a funny quirk of human nature. It's kind of like pecking order in the barnyard, you know. The different ethnic groups that have come and made America their home over the course of the centuries and things like that, you know, each kind of hated the ones who came after them. They got into the US and they were there and they were established, and then the Irish came, and everybody was up in arms. Oh, the Irish are here. Oh, they're all a bunch of lazy drunkards, blah blah blah, and you know, no Irish need apply and all that stuff. And then well, who's the next wave after that? And well, who's the next wave after that? And everybody seems to say, you know what, I'm a little bit higher on the pecking order, I can pick on you. And you know, if the ground's all even at the foot of the cross, and the ground is all even in heaven, and you know, I think a lot of this is simply human nature acting badly. You know, I really think so. And where it gets, I know it's a highly charged word, politicized or systematized is when those things become so ingrained that they're part of the warp and woof of the fabric of a society, or the laws of a fabric, the laws of a society. Fortunately,
Right.
I don't think we see that in America. I think, at least we have laws that protect people, and whether they're universally applied, well, maybe that's
Yeah.
up for discussion, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of questionable things in the system that are not within my pay grade, certainly. But I appreciate, Mike, that you listened to God's voice this morning, and I also appreciate that I think you did one of the important things, which is elevating the voices of people of color, by inviting Sheila to speak today, and share a piece that she wrote and her perspective. I think a lot of people are shouting into the void on social media and not necessarily doing the work to elevate the voices that should be heard. So I appreciate that you were able to do that. Certainly.
It was the right thing to do. Absolutely. Yeah. God made that pretty clear.
Yeah. So, and there's...
He can make things clearer during the day. That's fine.
Way. Yeah, right. Come on. Step up, God. Maybe earlier next time.
I know.
Or bedtime.
What is it with 2:30 in the morning? Yeah. Come on.
Well, thank you, Mike. Before we go, is there, because we could talk about this forever. And
oh yeah, and we need to be honest, Jeff. I
yes,
think,
of course.
I mentioned this to Sheila and to Megan Hughes and to a few others that this cannot stop here with hearing from God, and having a sermon and the service and all that stuff. We do have to get some people together to really think and pray and discuss all these things, people of color, people of no color.
Yeah.
Transparent people, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, and really hammer some things out. I mean, actual action items for at least our little C church, local church, Harbor,
Right.
What other churches do, and I'm sure there's going to be some other churches who have some great responses, and let's live and learn. Let's learn from them as well.
Certainly.
But it can't stop here.
No, it cannot. Is there anything that you would like to leave listeners with, or anything that hit the cutting room floor, either at first or second draft of this message that feel like can't go unsaid, whether it's biblical or or racial or whatever.
Nope, I think we're good. I think we're good. I gotta go play with my grandkid.
That is beautiful. And that's what matters, is the relationships we have and continue to form and build. So,
all right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, take it easy.
Bye.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.